Jim, I didn't notice any meter motion or anomalies, Joe.
Okay, Jim, thank you. And we're assuming that the rover is now parked facing north. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I could have guessed as much. And a question about the suspension, which sounds kind of exciting. Did you ever notice it hitting bottom?
Yes, we hit bottom a couple of times when we hit a rock. And it seemed to respond fairly well. I mean, you could just feel that it had bottomed out. I might add something else, too, on your battery problem, John. I'm sure you're right about that because I noticed in backing up a couple of times, the front wheels did drive.
Okay, interesting comment, Dave. Thank you. Now we're getting on to the toughies here and coming up to a very interesting one. We'd like to know what your best estimation of the limb's position is. Over. And Dave and Jim, let me give you some background on that. We've got several points. They're in a very tight cluster around the first location we gave you. We think, however, because of bootstrapping the location from Elbow Crater backwards using the rover navigation system, we think that you may be mistaking last crater for index crater, and I want you to consider this as you look at your map and think about your present position. Over.
Hi. So you stipulated an interesting discussion. Give us a couple more minutes.
We thought we might, Dave. And Dave and Jim, as you well know, this question is pretty much academic because we're doing great guns no matter where your exact location is, and it's something we'll construct later. But we're interested nonetheless.
Roger. Okay, Joe, how about 733 Bravo Sierra 4? And I guess that's because we are on the northeast side of a double crater.
Voila, we understand.
Sure nice, that rover will make 12, 13 clicks, isn't it?
That sure is. Richard's studying the maps here momentarily. In the meantime, could you give us just a rough guess, a quick rundown as to where the samples at Station 1 were taken with respect to the rim of Elbow, and we're interested in distance and direction from the rim. Just a rough guess.
Stand by. Okay, Joe, 709 Bravo Echo 5, and we moved out about 200 feet to the east of that point and picking up the three radial samples.
Okay, Dave, copy that loud and clear. And by the way, Rover Nav System gave us exactly the same coordinates as you just called down for your LEM location. Interesting coincidence, or perhaps not a coincidence. Moving on to the next question. Near Elbow Crater, Dave, you mentioned that your footprints exposed white soil. We wonder if this was a common occurrence. Did you observe similar white soil in footprints elsewhere? Over.
Joe, I sort of kicked through a rim of a small 1 meter subdued crater. And as I did that, I kicked up some white soil. And so I kicked a couple more times and it spread out. And whether I was breaking up a very friable rock or not, I don't know. But there was a couple of kickfuls of dirt that was white, and as we came back past it, On the return trip to the limb, I pointed out to Jim, and he saw it too. And I'm not sure whether that was just at that one small crater, which was an old crater, or whether that was typical of that particular area. We just didn't have time to look at it.
Roger, Dave. Copy that. And coming back to Station 1, Elbow Crater, could you give us a quick rundown on the changes in block distribution around Elbow Crater, and if possible, maybe even the changes in rock types there? Over.
Stand by one. Our clocks were running pretty fast when we were there, and I guess we didn't get a chance to look at the distribution very well. As I remember it, there were more blocks, not really blocks, but large fragments on the order of 6 inches to a foot, more on the southern rim, although it wasn't really heavily concentrated, I'd say 10% of the surface at most. There was more on the southern rim than on the northern rim. And the ones we sampled all looked pretty much the same. As I remember, the radial sample didn't show a great difference in rock type. Although, as you know, we just didn't have a chance to do much looking and thinking there.
Roger, Dave. We copy that and answers the question very well. Once again, regarding Elbow Crater, Jim, you called out to us a bench around the east side of Elbow, and you were looking down into Elbow from higher up on the front. We wonder if you could compare that bench with breaks in the slope of the rill wall. Over.
Joe, when I commented on bench, there were, I would estimate two or three different levels that are very subdued possible benches in Elbow. And I did not see any immediate relation between those subdued benches in Elbow and the rill.
Okay, Jim, copy that. That sounds very reasonable. We'd like to move on down towards Station 2 now and have a series of questions about Station 2. The first one being, what rock samples did you get from Station 2? And we're more interested in the samples that did not come from the large boulder, but rather what other samples did you get there? Over.
Okay, stand by. Okay, Joe, our sum total at Station 2 was two chips off the large rock, soil from the billet, soil adjacent about a couple of feet away from the rock, soil from beneath the rock, and the double core and the copper hinges.
Okay, Dave, you called it right on from memory. That's exactly the score sheet we had. Stand by a second. Let me read over the second question. Okay, regarding the boulder, do you think possibly that the black part of the boulder might be a big clast in a coarse breccia? Over.
No, I'm not sure, Joe. The breccia that was in there was glass covered, and there was an exposure after I took a chip out of it that was a breccia not unlike 14s. Matter of fact, I'd say it was almost typical 14s, but maybe only second or third order. There definitely was a linear, I call it a contact. Whether it might have been a very large clast inside a very large rock, there's no telling. But there was a definite line there which differentiated two types of rock within that big boulder. And I really wouldn't want to guess whether that was a large clast or not.
Okay, Dave, sounds good. Could you tell us where the samples which came off the boulder were taken in relation to this contact that you called out on the boulder? In other words, where did the chips come loose from? Over.